So to get that perfect barbecue, you use wood. Are you sure it's safe? Whatever. We put the lighter fluid on, strike the match, and... Ooh.
Should we call the fire department?
That might be a good idea.
Welcome to the Barbecue Central Show, the show where we talk about all things that are important in the world of barbecue. From big-name interviews with competitors on the barbecue circuit, grill manufacturers and pit makers, to advice on cooking brisket and ribs, you'll find it all right here on the Barbecue Central Show. Your host, Greg Rempe, is a backyard barbecue and grilling fanatic and loves to talk about his passion, which many of us share together. You can learn more about barbecue and grilling by visiting the website, thebbqcentral.com. Now, let's get in the smoke. Here's your program host, Greg Rempe.
Welcome to the Barbecue Central Show. Oh, yeah, this is the show where we talk about all things important to the world of barbecue and grilling. Central Lights, how's your life? As you know by now, the show originates from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame city of Cleveland, Ohio. Dare I say it, the barbecue capital of the North Coast. I'm your program host, Greg Rempe. Contact information right off the top. Not that we'll be taking any phone calls, but it is toll-free in case you wanted to jump in. 877-448-0433. Email address bbqcentralradio@gmail.com is the way to get in touch with the show. Third week in a row where we're going to be doing the barbecue roundtable. Tonight is the pork butt edition. On the panel sitting in tonight, ranked number one in the pork category in 2009. And the KCBS pitmaster of Little Pigtown, Scott Key, joining us, ranked number five in pork for 2009 in the KCBS, and fresh off their third place overall finish at Smoke on the Water contest this past weekend. And North Arkansas pitmaster of the slabs.com, Kyle Laval. And rounding out the panel, ranked number seven in pork in 2009, and KCBS purveyor of some very popular injections for the barbecue world as well, pitmaster of Butcher Barbecue, Dave Boska of Butcher Barbecue. That's who is sitting in on the panel tonight, and it already looks like we've run into some technical difficulty. Guys, thanks for coming on tonight. So right off the bat, it looks like we've lost Dave for whatever reason. So here's what I'm going to do. Going to hang up on everybody. Going to call everybody right back. Can we do that?
Yep, we can do that.
All right. Stand by.
Hello?
All right. There we go. Dave's back.
Hi, Dave.
Yes.
All right. Just so the other two guys know, Dave is just working off the slightest delay on his internet card, so we will work with that with no problem. So we are on the Pork Butt Roundtable tonight. Before we get started with the pre-cook events, why don't we go around the room and see what everybody's cooking on, and we'll start with Kyle Laval from theslabs.com.
Cooking on a Lang 48 cooker.
Lang, old school, nice.
Yeah, we've got a 48 and a 60. Most of the time I cook on a 48. That's what I cooked on last weekend.
And how about you, Scott?
I cook on a Jambo Pit.
Jambo Pit, very popular competition cooker. And we'll round out with Dave Boska from Butcher Barbecue.
We cook on two FBC 100s.
All right, so we got a little bit. We got the mini log burners. And we got two straight stick willies going on, so a nice mix tonight to get some interesting perspectives. Before we get into, hate to use this pun, the meat of the subject, does anybody use any type of, they probably don't use automatic pit temperature controllers given your cookers, but does anybody use these remote thermometers like these ET73s? And we'll start with Kyle again.
Nope, I'm all hand fed. Watch it all night long.
What about you, Scott?
Yep, I'm the same way. I do have a thermopan, but it's not a remote thermometer.
David, are you a remote thermometer user by chance?
No, we do good steak dial in on Skype.
Very nice. All right, so we're talking pork butt tonight. Again, we have Dave Boska from Butcher Barbecue. We have Scott Key from Little Pigtown and Kyle Laval from slabs.com. Actually, I should probably ask you, Kyle, are you co-pitmaster with Stephanie? I would hate to get anybody in trouble here, especially me.
You're not going to get anybody in trouble. Steph's specialty is taking care of the chicken. She's the grill mistress and the organizer of the slabs.com, and I usually stay up and cook the other three.
All right. Just making sure everybody is getting proper due where it is due. So getting into the pre-cook events here for the pork butt, and we'll start with Dave Bosca. Are you using shoulders or butts? And go ahead, Dave.
We use pork butts.
Like the Boston butts, I guess they would call them. Dave, you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here, but we're cutting out real bad.
All right, Dave, do this. Take this number down. Can you hear me? Actually, why don't we go to Scott?
Can you type it out?
Yeah, I will type it down underneath. And Scott, are you using like whole shoulders, or are you just using the Boston butts?
No, I just use pork butts. You know, the Cryovac 2 in a package kind of thing.
And we will round this question out with Kyle.
Yep, I cook Boston butt, same as most people do. I think I usually shoot for between 7 and 9 pounds. I just cook one a contest.
Have either of you guys messed around with the whole shoulder at all, Scott?
I have never cooked a whole shoulder.
And what about you, Kyle?
I've never really messed with the whole shoulder. I have cooked the picnic they offer a couple of times, and I'll have to say it's got a lot of bone in it and doesn't have as much meat.
Dave, are you just use the Boston butts, or have you ever messed around with whole shoulders? Dave?
We use Boston butt roast, but I prefer the neck on Boston butt roast versus the square cut Boston butts.
Right now, that probably goes without saying, but anybody or any of you guys using a boneless butt? And we'll start with Kyle.
Yep, I debone mine.
You debone yours prior to cooking?
Yep.
Wow. And we'll go to Scott next.
Nope, I leave the bones in it, and I have cooked the bone. I've cooked them boneless before, but I prefer the bone in.
Butcher Barbecue's Dave Bosca, bone or boneless?
Bone in.
All right, Kyle, so let me ask you, are you tying the meat up after you debone? So you're buying them bone in, and then you're actually boning out you're boning it out?
Yep, that's right. That's the way I learned to do it, and I've always done it that way. We used to tie them, but I don't do that anymore. I'll tell you why I like to do it bone out. You're familiar with the pork butt. You've got the bone side and the non-bone side. Mm-hmm. I take the bone out, kind of butterfly it open so I can separate out those two muscles. I like to open it up. I can get more rub inside there and get more bark over the whole area.
Scott, had you ever messed around with the boneless before?
I've cooked them a few times here at the house, and I've never actually run it competitively, but I've cooked it here from time to time, just playing around with it. I just like the way. It just seems to me you get... And this is probably just in my head. I don't know if there's any theory to it, but it seems to me I just like the way it cooks, and the bone in there gives you a couple little nuggets around that bone that you can pick meat from.
What about you, Dave? You ever mess around with the boneless stuff?
No, we don't. We've toyed with it and played with it, and there for a while I did butterfly it open also, but I'd say 95% of the time we're doing a bone in just whole, untouched.
All right, so when you're actually shopping for the butts themselves, just to back up a little bit, are you looking for anything in particular when you're actually viewing these butts, and do you have like a specific purveyor of pork that you buy from, or is it just, you know, one of the mass market stores like a BJ's or a Sam's Club? We'll go back to Dave for that.
There's stuff that I look for particularly. There's some striations on what we call the money muscle that I look heavily for, and I do like a little darker pork that's a little higher rich in oil and that, which is flavor, which American pork, most of it's been bred out of, so I look for that little richer pork, and I like to try and find a lot of marbling. And as far as where I buy it at, I do shop a couple different places, one being a Sam's and one being a local wholesaler, we do deal with them.
Scott from Little Pigtown?
I actually pretty much always get my butts from Sam's Club. I do pick them up from a meat company in Tulsa called Tulsa Beef as well from time to time. I'm usually looking for, I like the fat cap on the bottom side of the butt to be really white. The whiter, the better, I think. And, of course, you're looking at what Dave mentioned there, the money muscle, and just kind of trying to pick one out that I think looks well and two that are close in size anyway, so you can get them cooked up about the same time.
Kyle?
Yeah, I like a you know, a good size one, about 7 to 9 pounds, like I said. And we get them anywhere. We like them on sale. I'll tell you, the one Oklahoma Joe's actually sponsors this for meat, but I've had quite a bit of pork in the freezer that we've been working on. The last one I cooked last weekend, it was about 9.3 pounds, and that sucker had actually been frozen since late of 07. Because we got them on sale for 99 cents a pound, so I've just been kind of pulling them out as I need them. And,
so you're, you know, actually, you're defrosting butts? I mean, like, from what I've heard, that is almost like a sacrilege to use a frozen butt thawed out.
I don't know, Steph. We got those about August or September of 07.
Wow. Those are almost antique bucks.
I'll take that back. It was 08. Yeah, it was 08.
Antique bucks being used there by the slabs.com. And it sounded like you were doing two butts, Kyle, at a competition?
No, just one. Oh. One butt, one brisket.
Wow. One butt, one brisket. Scott, how many are you doing for a competition?
I cook two.
Two butts. And Dave, how many butts are you doing for competition?
We cook two butts also, and we freeze everything we cook also.
You freeze after you cook, or?
No, everything that we cook will be frozen at one point or another.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I've heard some people say they like to freeze their briskets before they cook them.
Hmm. Is that to get a better smoke ring?
I have no idea.
Not that the judges look for that. All right, so trimming process, and we'll go back to Dave to start with. What are you doing to get that butt ready? You trimming down that fat cap, or what's kind of the process going over at Butcher Barbecue Camp?
The fat cap on the bottom, I don't pay much attention to. The type of cooker that I use, being an FE, it cooks from the bottom up, so I like to leave all the fat on it to help protect the rest of it. I just trim around the money muscle and clean that up real well and just check the bone side mostly just to see if there's any bone fragments. And sometimes you'll find the little bones across the top where they peel off the rib bones. Sometimes they'll leave a little sliver on that. So I just make sure it's good and clean of all that.
Scott?
I pretty much the same. I really don't trim any of the fat off of the cap on the bottom. I go around looking for. Sometimes you get those little pockets of blood or whatever they are. I cut those out. Sometimes you'll have a vein left in there too. You know, you cut that out and you clean up, you know, a little fat around the money muscle, and it's about it for trimming. I really don't trim much on the pork butt.
What about you, Kyle?
I go in and, like I said, I separate. There's that line that separates between kind of the bone side and the big muscle side. I separate that out and then debone it if there's any extra fat inside there, you know, that you don't really need, like you said, any veins or anything. I trim out any of that so I get good contact with the meat. But I like to leave the fat cap on the bottom also. That way when I wrap it in foil, you know, if something happens, I wrap it fat down. That way, you know, if something's going to fry, it'll be that fat cap.
You don't do any, like, special scoring or anything like that to initiate, like, more bark formation or getting the rubbing or anything like that?
No. When I open it up and butterfly it and get that bone out of there, you know, I separate those two muscles out as it when I cook it, so it's kind of just connected by that fat cap, and then I've got those two separate deals. That's pretty much all the surface area you need.
Scott, do you do any special scoring at all to get more bark or let the rub penetrate?
No, I score bologna because I like the effect, but no.
What about you, Dave? Any special scoring?
No, nothing here.
All right, so I'm going to guess just because of time constraints at a competition, you're probably not brining a pork butt. So that would lead me to the next question, and I'm sure we'll get a yes from Dave. But we'll start with Kyle from theslabs.com. You injecting your butt?
Yep.
And are you using your own homemade concoction, or are you using one of the handful of things out there?
It's a homemade concoction. I'd be glad to give you the recipe if you'd like it.
If you're willing to share, that would be certainly different than last week. Go ahead.
Okay, it's a half cup of kosher salt and 2 quarts of water.
Wow. A very intricate brine recipe, no doubt about injection recipe. And do you do that a specific period of time before it goes onto the cooker?
About 8 hours.
8 hours. All right. What about you, Scott? You injecting the butts?
I do not inject pork.
At all?
At all.
You ever done it?
I have done it, yeah.
Just didn't like the way it turned out?
Yeah, I don't have anything against it. It's just not my, it wasn't getting what I needed out of it, so I just don't do it for competitions.
What about you, Dave?
Yeah, we do.
who do you use?
Well, we use a product that I've got a few boxes of still left over.
yeah, I bet.
But now, we do inject, and we use a water and a peach nectar along with it.
By the way, he's being coy, but I would imagine you're using the butcherbarbecue.com pork injection?
Yes, sir, we do.
All right, and I forgot to add, well, Scott doesn't, but do you you in the same time frame as Kyle as far as when you do it prior to going on the cooker?
He's right, same as me. I do inject about 8 hours prior.
All right, now, is anybody letting their butts set out to kind of, like, warm up or come up to room temperature, and then we'll go back to Scott for that?
I don't necessarily set them out to warm them up, but I do like to set them out after I rub them to let them get a little, build up a little sweat on the outside, but I don't do it prior to rubbing it.
What about you, Kyle?
I usually rub my butts about, 9 o'clock, and they'll sit out until they get going.
I depending think on how, a lot depending on that.
Well, depending on how hot it is outside, you know.
Right. Rubbing butts and how hot it is. Very nice. Dave, how about you?
As soon as we inject them and we'll put a rub on it, we put them in the ice chest. The only thing we set them out of, I may be jumping ahead of your questions, just prior to cooking.
All right. And so this probably leads nicely into what you're just saying, Dave. How far in advance are you rubbing your butt prior to going on the cooker?
We inject them and rub them one right after the other,
okay.
Which is eight hours.
Kyle, 8 hours for rub, same thing for you? You follow one right after the other, or you wait?
Nah, I wait. I usually rub them about 5 hours before they go on.
We'll finish up, Scott, how soon are, what's your
I don't have a specific time when I do my stuff on my pork. It's just I get there late a lot of times, too, so. But I do like to let it set out for a couple hours after I rub it to get it all sweat up, and then I put it back in the ice chest.
All right. Now, in regards to rub, are you guys using your own concoction, or are you using some type of commercial thing that's available out there currently? And we'll go back to Dave.
I use my own. This is one I actually developed myself years ago, and we've used it on our beef and pork ever since we've been cooking.
Is this something that is commercially available for people to buy?
Yes, it's our premium rub.
All right. Scott, you using your own stuff, or are you buying somebody else's?
Scott? Blend of what I want.
I'm sorry, you cut out there. Can you say that again?
I buy local. I buy rubs. I don't make my own rub.
Anybody you use in particular that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Well, Kyle's got a good one, for one. Dave's is actually a good one, too, but.
Put them together.
Both of those.
You make them together and make a hybrid.
Yeah,
super rib.
One of both.
What about you, Kyle?
Yeah, we sell our pork rib. We've got a pork rib we sell, and that's what we use. You can pick it up at theslabs.com or check out a retailer near you at theslabs.com.
There you go. Is the rub that you're using for your butts different than what you would use on, let's say, your pork ribs? And we'll go back to Kyle for that.
Yeah, it sure is. We've got three different rubs available. We've got a beef rub, a chicken and rib rub, and a pork rub.
Scott, using a different rub on your pork butts than you would your ribs?
Yes, I do. Two different rubs.
And Dave, different rub for your ribs and your pork butts?
Yes, we use a completely different rub. I think on the pork, with the length of time it's cooking, you need something with more of a bite. So, yeah, absolutely, we use something a lot different.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
All right. Now, those are all the questions I had written out. Is there anything else that you guys are doing in your preparation process prior to going on the cooker that I haven't asked you guys about yet that you would like to share, and we'll go with Scott?
That's all I do. That is it.
All right. Kyle?
Well,
No, I think that's pretty much it. You know, I like to try and keep it simple. It's just kind of brine it, rub it, and put it on and smoke it, and then sauce it and wrap it and pull it out and glaze it.
All right. Well, I guess you're done with the interview then, Kyle. You just gave everything away. Very good.
All right. That's the kind of guy I am.
Dave, anything else that you're doing that we haven't covered here in the beginning?
Well, the only thing we do is once we put it in the ice chest, we stand over the ice chest with a lock and key and do a mojo dance over it, hoping that the pork gods are playing down with us.
And if we had TV, man, I would make you do that pork dance for everybody to see. You know I would. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our first break, and we're going to come back and get into the cooking portion of the show. So if you need to grab an adult beverage or whatever it is that you need to, go ahead and do that, and we'll be back with you here in about 3.5 minutes. That's going to give me some time to remind you, Central Lakes, about Yoder Smoky Mountain Barbecue. You know who they are by now, the leading online distributor of Meadow Creek barbecue equipment. Their barbecue smokers, pig roasters, and chicken cookers and grills are handcrafted in the Amish country of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Their goal is to give you outstanding value for the price and enjoy easy and profitable barbecues for years to come. And they also carry a complete line of wonderful barbecue rubs and sauces. Check them out on the interwebs, won't you? Sirius BBQs, that's BBQS, SiriusBBQs.com. You are listening to the Pork Butt Roundtable with Kyle Laval from TheSlabs.com, Scott Key from Little Pigtown, and Dave Bosca from Butcher Barbecue. It's cooking section next. Stand by.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show. Central Lights, are you having marriage troubles? Are your kids unruly and don't listen? Then you need the Ribolator, because great barbecue will always bring the family together, and the Ribolator always cooks great award-winning barbecue. You can try it free for 30 days, and if your family life doesn't improve, just send it back. The Ribolator even pays return shipping. But you need to take that first step. Visit Ribolator.com to get started, or call 206-999-0962. Don't you deserve a happy barbecue family?
The future of barbecue is already here at TheBarbecueGuru.com. From the amazing guru that monitors and controls the temperatures of any charcoal, wood, or electric pit, to the Caldera Tallboy knockdown smoker. Yes, it breaks down and stores flat, yet it's still a robust, sturdy, portable cooker and smokehouse. It also serves as an efficient temperature-controlled convection oven using wood or charcoal. The Tallboy is designed to fit all catering pans and can be used as a warming oven. You can cook in any style you choose, like ribs, chicken, jerky, vegetables, smoked cheese, whatever you want. Take it to KCBS competitions and unload it from the trunk of your car. TheBarbecueGuru.com is where you'll find the Caldera 3-Bay Caterer. It's stainless steel and uses charcoal or sterno for chafing purposes. And it doubles as a 3-Bay sink or wash station with hot water and knocks down in seconds with no tools required for transportation and storage. The future of barbecue is here at TheBarbecueGuru.com. That's www.thebbqguru.com. Or call 1-800-288-GURU.
Introducing Cosmos Q. Cosmos injections and marinades use only the finest ingredients, and they mix easily, never clotting or caking. From our beef injection to our pork injection, you're guaranteed to wow your friends, family, and judges. And don't forget to check out our newest marinade, Cosmos Chicken Soak, for that moist and tender chicken you're gonna love. You can find all of Cosmos award-winning products at CosmosQ.com. Cosmos Q, the new generation. Taste the difference.
Barbecue fans travel from all over the country to learn the secrets of real pit barbecue from Grand Champion Pitmaster Conrad Haskins. Now take your skills to the next level with a Barbecue Institute Pitmaster class. You'll learn how to make sauces, rubs, and smoke mouth-watering barbecue every time you cook. Your new skills will impress friends and family, and some of our graduates have gone on to success with barbecue businesses and TV fame. For more information, visit bbqclass.com.
Forget going from site to site to get all your barbecue and grilling supplies and make your first and final stop at fredsmusicandbarbecue.com. In the market for a new barbecue pit, we have all the big name brands like Big Green Egg and more. As a matter of fact, Fred's is staffed by eggheads and carries all the parts and accessories for the Big Green Egg. More of a pellet head, you say? Fred's is the pellet grill superstore with grills in stock from Traeger, Green Mountain, and Country Smokers from Louisiana Grills. Fred also carries smokers from Cook Shack, Bradley, and Weber as well as a full lineup of charcoal grills. And once you're outfitted with your new smoker or grill, you'll find absolutely everything you need to make your barbecue or grilling experience a success. Fred is also the creator and distributor of Tasty Licks barbecue products, including their great line of rubs, spices, and sauces. You've got to try them. You can also get your hands on a full lineup of marinades, accessories, lump charcoal, wood chips, pellets, chunks, and even the great grilling tools from Stephen Reichlin of Barbecue U fame. Check Fred out on the web at fredsmusicandbbq.com or check out their fully stocked showroom in beautiful Shillington, PA.
Get in the smoke. It's the Barbecue Central Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, welcome back. It's the Barbecue Roundtable right here on the Barbecue Central Radio Networks. Kyle Laval from TheSlabs.com, Scott Key from Little Pigtown, Dave Bosco from Butcher Barbecue joining us here on the Pork Butt Roundtable. This portion of the show brought to you by the good folks at the Barbecue Guru, makers of automatic pit temperature control devices, not to mention a host of other products that make your barbecue and grilling life easier. Two ways to find them. You can look them up on the interwebs at TheBBQGuru.com, or you can call them toll-free on your telephone, 800-288-GURU. That's the good folks at the Barbecue Guru. Bring the panel back up here to get into the cooking portion of the show. All right, so let's get back into it. The butts have been rubbed, trimmed, butt rubbing. Nothing more homoerotic than talking about pork butt here with a bunch of other guys. Talking about rubbing butts and injecting butts and all that stuff. Nevertheless, we get into the cooking portion of the show here, gentlemen. How long are you guys allotting for the pork butt to actually cook? And we'll go to Dave for that one.
Wow, I've never thought about what time it goes on. Hello, are we having an echo?
No, are you?
Yeah, that's all right. I can talk through it. I put my pork butts on at 9 o'clock at night, and they're coming off between 9:30 and 10:30 the next morning.
What's you looking right around 12 hours or so for a pork butt cook, give or take?
Yes.
All right. What about you, Scott? You have a designated amount of time that you'd like to see?
Yeah, it's 6-7 hours. Normally they go on about 3, sometime between 9 and 11, just depending on the day, you know. They'll come off and they'll go to sit.
What about you, Kai? How much time are you allotting for a pork butt cook?
I'm kind of with Scott. I go on about 2 or 3, and they're usually done about 9:30 or 10.
Kai, we'll stick with you here for this question. What kind of wood are you using for smoke flavor?
I use hickory, apple, and a little bit of mesquite.
Wow. Interchanging logs, and are you just kind of putting them all in at the same time?
Nah, it's usually, I usually start out with a good piece of hickory, throw in a few chunks of mesquite. When that's gone, I throw in a log apple, a few more chunks of mesquite.
Mesquite's very daring for heat. From what I understand.
A little bit goes a long way, but I like the flavor. I like the flavor on the big cuts. I don't use it on ribs or chicken, obviously.
What about you, Scott? What kind of wood do you use?
I burn all pecan on all my meats.
And Dave?
Well, being a pellet head, we use hickory.
Straight hickory, or do you mix it all?
Well, actually, we have used blended pellets in the past, but very recently there's a. You see if I throw a name out there?
No, I was going to say, tell us who you use if you want to.
Okay, Fast Eddie has a new competition pellet coming out, and we've been using his competition pellets here very recently, and we really like them.
I told him he should use that marketing slogan, FEP, Fast Eddie Pellets, FEP for your FEC, but he didn't seem to latch onto that
there
too much.
There you go.
What can I tell you?
You all have to bring that up to him.
Yeah, there you go. Make sure I get the royalty checks. All right, so what time do you put the – oh, actually, we kind of covered that question here as far as what time you put the butts on at competitions. So we'll move to the next one. We'll start with Scott. What temperature do you like to keep the pit at when you're cooking the butts?
I run them about 325.
It's a little hotter than traditional barbecue temperature.
Yeah, it's not real low and slow. It's a little hotter.
Kyle?
I'll go 325, 350.
And Dave, what do you keep the FEC at?
I start at 180, and I'll finish them off between 240 and 250, according to how big they are, because I like them to come off around the same time.
And so here's an interesting question, especially for the competition side of things. I know if you're doing them at home, you might perhaps have more of a propensity to at least think about doing this. But during competitions, any of you guys basting or mopping or spraying anything on these butts during the course of the cook? And we'll go back to Dave.
No.
Ever done that?
Nope, never did.
Kyle.
I used to spray stuff with apple juice. I kind of gave it up. I think it kind of breaks the surface tension on the meat.
And Scott?
Nope, I don't either.
Ever mess around with it?
Nope, not on
tell the truth.
Big meat. I'm serious. I'm kidding.
All right, now, another big controversy everybody likes to talk about is this Texas Crunch or this aluminum foil. So question number one would be, does anybody foil butts during the cooking process? And then secondary to that, if you do, is it an internal temperature thing that you have to get to in order to foil, or is it more of a color thing that you're looking to achieve before you foil? And we'll go back to Scott.
Yes, I do foil, and it is it's a color thing for me, and it's normally 4 or 5 hours is normally when I hit that window that I foil it.
What about you, Dave? Are you foiling, and if so, is it a color or a temperature thing?
Yes, we do foil, and I go by temp.
What do you shoot for before you wrap?
The pork butts would be at about 155 when I wrap them.
All right. And finishing out is Kyle.
Yeah, I just go by, I'm just kind of a time and color guy. I cook it for usually about 6 hours, and if it starts to exude the juices, that's when I know that it's ready to wrap, and then I wrap it in foil for a couple hours, hour and a half, couple hours, to get it, you know, to where I want it, and I pull it out about 203.
All right, now let me go to Scott to ask this question, simply because, you know, he was top man in 2009 for the pork category. You know, we've been hearing a lot, especially, and it's probably run around in competition circles for quite a while, but given the advent of technology and more information being readily available, there's this term called money muscle that a lot of people are hearing about, especially for the folks that are on the periphery of competition barbecue that might look in but don't really understand the ins and outs of it. So can you go ahead and kind of give us a fingernail sketch of what the money muscle actually it is for the layman audience members?
Yeah, it's the opposite. If you're holding the pork butt, there's the where the bone is actually sliced off the flat end of that pork butt. It's the opposite end, and it kind of looks like, oh, it's kind of got like a zebra striping pattern to it. It's right on the end of the pork butt.
And is it a consistency thing, or, you know, why do people call it the money muscle?
I don't know where the name originated, actually, but it's really good if you cook it right. Maybe. I don't know who started all that money muscle business, but I like it.
All right, so we'll go back to Kyle to start this question. And I'm probably going to answer my own question when I ask you this, Kyle, but you're not obviously cooking an extra pork butt just specifically for money muscle, and is that something that you're actually looking to extract out of the pork butt when you're cooking?
Usually we just go with I use the muscle that's the opposite from the bone muscle, I'll call it. It's the bigger piece of meat that doesn't have the bone in it. We usually just slice that and enter it that way.
Right, Scott, you cooking? You do two butts for competition, so are you cooking one for one portion, and then you're cooking one specifically for the money muscle?
No, I actually use, sometimes I use two, sometimes I use one, sometimes I use pulled, sometimes I use chunks. It just kind of depends on what I get, but no, I don't cook one specifically for the money muscle.
Dave, are you cooking a pork butt, one for specifically for the money muscle?
No, we do not. We cook two pork butts, but what makes a determining factor on which one we use is just pure flavor.
All right. What internal temperature are you guys shooting for to finish the pork butt cook? And we'll go back to Dave.
I usually shoot for 198.
98. And Kyle?
I go for 203, and then I make sure that I just kind of let it sit out, maybe in a bus tub or something. I don't immediately put it in a cooler. It just turns to mush. I'll let it sit out. Pork seems to hold its heat for a long time. Sometimes it'll just sit out until we enter it.
Now, perhaps I'm asking a stupid question here, but when you say you're letting it sit out, are you unwrapping it then out of the foil?
No.
To let it kind of sit, or you're just putting the foiled butt out there on a table?
Right, it just comes out the foil button in an aluminum pan, and then I set that in the uncovered bus tub and just let it kind of sit out there.
What about you, Scott? What type of finish temperature are you shooting for?
I run them to 195.
Now, we'll go back around the panel here, starting with Scott again. Is your finish temperature something that you have played around with over time, or have you always just tried to shoot for 195 and that has seemed to work best for you over your course of competition?
It just depends on your pit and the way you're cooking, and that just gives me the product I'm looking for to put in the box. So, I run a little hotter, and I don't get exactly what I'm wanting, and 190 doesn't give me what I'm looking for either, so the 195 range just having to work out best for me.
Kyle, is the 203 something that you've worked at over time, or is that the one that you have spent the majority of your time shooting for during competition?
That's always worked for me. I always go to at least a minimum of 200. It's 200 to 205. Anything over that, you're probably looking at something that's a little harder to slice.
Dave, 198 something that you have toyed around with over time, or something you've always tried to stick with?
Actually, it goes according to what pork I've got, because different type pork will cook different. And if I can't find a heavy purple marble butt pork, I'll take it up to 203, just exactly where Kyle's at. But if I can get what I want, I'm pulling it at 198.
All right. That's the only question I had written down for the cooking section. So we'll go back and ask the generic question of, is there anything else during the cooking process that you guys do that we haven't covered yet that you'd like to tell us? And we'll go back to Kyle.
We take that out after we've unwrapped it from the foil and we're getting ready to prep it for turn-in. We just take our slab sauce and mix it about half and half with honey and make a good glaze on top of that, and then mix a little more in with the pork juices, and then we brush the pork with that when we slice it.
So are you setting a glaze on top of the pork?
Exactly.
Before you pull it?
Yep. After we unwrap it, it's still whole, so we put it on a grid and glaze it with sauce, honey mix, and let that get a nice glaze on it, and then we pull it out, slice the big end, or the big side, and brush it with some broth mixture and put it in there.
Gotcha.
Put it in the box.
Right. We'll get into the post-cooking here in a second, but Scott, are you doing anything else during the cooking process that we haven't covered yet?
No, I just throw it on there, cook it. When it gets the color I want, foil it, throw it back out there and let it finish and pull it.
Dave, anything else you're doing?
No, actually, to me, pork butt's the easiest one to cook. There's not a lot of processes to it. So, you've pretty well covered everything real well.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and step away here for our second break. When we come back, we'll get into the post-cooking events, which will cover any type of rest time, how you're building your box, all that great stuff as far as how you're picking out the pieces of pork and whatnot for turning in. And we have a few other questions, if time allows, that really have nothing to do with pork butt cooking whatsoever, but more competition-style questions. So go ahead, guys, and hang back here for just another three and a half minutes. We'll come back with the post-cook side. You're listening to the Pork Butt Roundtable right here on the Barbecue Central Radio Networks. Stick around. Be right back.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show.
The future of barbecue is already here at thebarbecueguru.com. From the amazing guru that monitors and controls the temperatures of any charcoal, wood, or electric pit, to the Caldera Tallboy knockdown smoker. Yes, it breaks down and stores flat, yet it's still a robust, sturdy, portable cooker and smokehouse. It also serves as an efficient temperature-controlled convection oven using wood or charcoal. The Tallboy is designed to fit all catering pans and can be used as a warming oven. You can cook in any style you choose, like ribs, chicken, jerky, vegetables, smoked cheese, whatever you want. Take it to KCBS competitions and unload it from the truck of your car. TheBarbecueGuru.com is where you'll find the Caldera 3-Bay Caterer. It's stainless steel and uses charcoal or sterno for chafing purposes. And it doubles as a 3-bay sink or wash station with hot water and knocks down in seconds with no tools required for transportation and storage. The future of barbecue is here at TheBarbecueGuru.com. That's www.thebbqguru.com. Or call 1-800-288-GURU. Barbecue fans travel from all over the country to learn the secrets of real pit barbecue from Grand Champion Pitmaster Conrad Haskins. Now take your skills to the next level with a Barbecue Institute Pitmaster class. You'll learn how to make sauces, rubs, and smoke mouth-watering barbecue every time you cook. Your new skills will impress friends and family, and some of our graduates have gone on to success with barbecue businesses and TV fame. For more information, visit bbqclass.com.
Central Lights, you having marriage troubles? Your kids unruly and don't listen? Then you need the Ribolator, because great barbecue will always bring the family together, and the Ribolator always cooks great award-winning barbecue. You can try it free for 30 days, and if your family life doesn't improve, just send it back. Ribolator even pays return shipping. But you need to take that first step. Visit Ribolator.com to get started or call 206-999-0962. Don't you deserve a happy barbecue family?
Forget going from site to site to get all your barbecue and grilling supplies and make your first and final stop at Fred's Music and Barbecue.com. In the market for a new barbecue pit, we have all the big name brands like Big Green Egg and more. As a matter of fact, Fred's is staffed by eggheads and carries all the parts and accessories for the Big Green Egg. More of a pellet head, you say? Fred's is the pellet grill superstore with grills in stock from Traeger, Green Mountain, and Country Smokers from Louisiana Grills. Fred also carries smokers from Cook Shack, Bradley, and Weber as well as a full lineup of charcoal grills. And once you're outfitted with your new smoker or grill, you'll find absolutely everything you need to make your barbecue or grilling experience a success. Fred is also the creator and distributor of Tasty Licks barbecue products, including their great line of rubs, spices, and sauces. You gotta try them. You can also get your hands on a full lineup of marinades, accessories, lump charcoal, wood chips, pellets, chunks, and even the great grilling tools from Stephen Reitland of Barbecue U fame. Check Fred out on the web at fredsmusicandbbq.com or check out their fully stocked showroom in beautiful Shillington, PA.
Introducing Cosmos Q. Cosmos injections and marinades use only the finest ingredients, and they mix easily, never clotting or caking. From our beef injection to our pork injection, you're guaranteed to wow your friends, family, and judges. And don't forget to check out our newest marinade, Cosmos Chicken Soak, for that moist and tender chicken you're gonna love. You can find all of Cosmos award-winning products at CosmosQ.com. Cosmos Q, the new generation. Taste the difference.
Big name interviews.
Coverage of competition barbecue. And the only host willing to give his honest opinion on all topics in the world of barbecue. It's the Barbecue Central Show.
All right, we are back. It is the Barbecue Roundtable. Pork Butt Edition. Right here on the Barbecue Central Radio Networks, this portion of the show brought to you by D-Dog's Barbecue Rubs and Sauces. You know you'd like to buy them locally, so why don't you do Darren a solid and send him the name, address, and phone number of the local barbecue store, farmer's market, or grocery store. D-Dog will take care of the rest. Go ahead and email that info to Darren, D-A-R-I-N, at ddogsbbq.com. He will get you hooked up locally with all the latest and greatest products that D-Dogs has to offer. Not afraid of shipping charges, then just visit their website, ddogsbbq.com. And as we all know, D-Dogs barbecue rub is better than ketchup. All right, so we're going to go and wrap this bad boy up with the post-cook events here on the Barbecue Central Radio Network's Pork Butt Roundtable. And again, Kyle Laval from theslabs.com is joining us, Scott Key from Little Pigtown, and Dave Bosco from Butcher Barbecue. Guys, we know Kyle is letting his butt kind of sit out a little bit after he takes his butt off the cooker. Scott, you letting the butt do any type of hangout deal after you take it off before you start building that box?
No, I take it out and throw it in the Cambro and let it just rest in the Cambro until I'm ready to use it. It's going to be early, so it can be, you know, hour, 2 hours before I'm actually going to use the pork butt. But it just sits in the Cambro and waits.
Dave, you doing any letting the butt hang deal?
No, I pull it off. Usually right around 10 o'clock, and it'll sit in the Cambro, and then we'll just leave it sitting there until we go to do the box.
All right, so let's get over to that box. How much time are you guys allotting to actually build a pork box? Is it any more or less intense than some of the other boxes that you're building? And is it a lettuce or a parsley putting green type deal? And we'll go to Kyle.
Yeah, Steph does all our boxes ahead of time, so we just pull them out of a cooler, and it's just a bed of parsley. We slice it and drop six or seven slices in and fill around with parsley, any holes we need, and send it on to the judges.
Scott?
It's all parsley. And this drives my wife crazy. I always end up running it right down to the wire. But it seems like we start on our box about 5 minutes, building the box about 5 minutes before turning the start. And then I must get lost in it or something because I get screamed a lot running down to the wire.
Dave, are you taking a lot of time to build that box, or is it pretty straightforward for you?
Oh, I don't think it takes much time at all to build it, but my brother, he cooks with me, and, yeah, I don't give him near enough time to run it in.
Is it lettuce for you or parsley?
I'm sorry, all parsley.
All right, now, this was something I found interesting last show, was the chicken round table, and the three gentlemen that joined me, seemed like I asked what was a given yes to a question, which was, do you taste chicken prior to turning in? And none of them tasted the chicken prior to turning it in. They said they tasted it after everything was turned in. So let me go ahead and ask you this question. Are you guys tasting the pork as you're putting it in the box and make sure it tastes right to you guys, or is that really not a concern? We'll go to Scott.
I don't always taste it. I have my daughters with me, who's 11 years old, Bailey, and she always tastes it. And if she says I'm in trouble, I'm in trouble. But I don't always taste it. I normally will eat some of the pool, but if I do, it's already, you know, the box is already on the way. So I don't always taste it before I put it in there.
Dave, are you tasting the pork?
Yes, that's our determining factor as to which one we use.
And Kyle, you taste pork as you're kind of deciding what to put in?
Well, I've only got one, so I kind of got to run what I brung.
I guess so, right? let's see. Now, you guys kind of mentioned this all during the course as far as what you're doing, but what are you putting in the box and how are you deciding? Are you pulling off specific size chunks? Are you making sure that you slice a certain amount to turn in and then you have your pulled along with it? I mean, how are you building those pieces into the box? And we'll go to Kyle.
Like I said, we usually just slice that larger side muscle, get about six or seven good slices out of it and just kind of lay them in there, kind of like you would brisket slices, except obviously it's a big full box, and that's what we do. We've experimented with pulled, but mostly it's just sliced.
Scott, what are you putting in the box?
Sometimes I put, I'll have some sliced in there, and I go looking for chunks. You know, if I can get some decent chunks out of there, I'll use them. And if I can't, then, you know, I'll end up putting some pulled in there too, but there's a little barrage of everything in my box.
What about you, Dave? What are you putting in?
We do slices, and we kind of do what I'd call a heavy chunk.
Which would be kind of like a big chunk then?
Yes. Say the bigger end of your thumb, big chunk like that.
All right. Now, are you saucing the pork or hitting it with any type of spray or extra seasoning before the box actually closes and you run it, Dave?
No, we don't.
Let the pork speak for itself. I like that. What about you, Scott?
I'll sometimes slice or sauce the sliced before I slice it and put it in there. And then I sometimes spritz it with juice if I think it'll make it look prettier. I don't know if there's any, you know, I don't know if that helps or not, but it sure makes me feel good.
Kyle, aside from that glaze that you set on after you take it out, are you hitting it with any additional sauce or anything like that?
Yeah, we take the broth that's in the cooking wrap and mix that with a little of the sauce honey mixture and kind of brush the slices as we slice it, and then maybe touch it up in the box if it needs it. Usually doesn't need it too much.
All right. Any other finishing items that you guys do before you close the box and run it? We'll go back to Kyle.
Nope. Steph gives it a kiss and we send it.
What about you, Scott?
The box, not the pork.
Right. What about you, Scott?
Nope. That's my wife yells at me and she leaves.
Great. Just like every day. What about you, Dave?
I actually misunderstood your last question, Greg. We use a sauce on our pork. We don't spritz the box or nothing before we turn it in. So kind of stepping back a little bit, we do use a sauce, but no, we don't spritz the box.
Okay. Now, we have a couple questions here prior to getting into the plug segment, which will happen here very shortly. You guys, not to get on the soapboxes here, but you guys have any thoughts about the KCBS parting of the pork rule that we've been hearing so much about here over the last six, seven, 8 months? We'll go to Kyle first.
Yeah, I do. It seems like, you know, once it's the I used to be on the board anyway. The thrust of the rule was always to be so that you would cook a whole pork butt that was about 5 pounds. It seems to me after it's been cooked, you know, it's cooked. So parting at that point, you're just separating out the chunks you need. But that's just my opinion. I don't think it matter. I don't think it affects the barbecue.
What about personally. You, Scott? Scott?
Yep.
Well, we lost him.
You there, man? It's Gonzo. Yeah. Nice. He was so passionate about telling us he had to hang up before he got loose, I guess. What about you, Dave? You have any thoughts about the parting rule?
No, I don't have any real problems with it, any parts parting with it or nothing. I actually know when I've talked to the team from back in the early 90s as to why that all started. And the reason it actually started was just like Kyle said, people were just taking muscles out of the pork butt and cooking just the little muscles. And they may put them in there for an hour and cook them and they're done. But that's the reason the size implement and parting out all came in. In today's world of cooking, it seems like people are concentrating more on the thought of parting out of being pulling it, putting sauce to it, and then putting it back in the smoker to set the sauce. That's not the actual history of why that rule was implemented, though.
All right. We'll quickly switch gears here briefly. You don't have to get too involved in this answer, but kind of lagging back for Kyle too, or for Scott. We seem to lost him here. There was a talk here in the beginning of the year about possibly looking to let in propane cookers into competition barbecue. A lot of people for it. Some people I've heard very vocally against it. So we'll go to Kyle first. You for or against propane cookers being allowed in competition barbecue, Kyle?
Well, you know, for me personally, I'm a purist, obviously, so I'm a wood and coal burner, but I think barbecue as an American sport evolves like anything else, and lots of people do use propane. We've cooked contests where they allow propane, and truthfully, most people use wood. I don't think it'd be a problem. I think we bring more people in, all the better.
All right, I think we got Scott back. Scott, are you for or against propane cookers in competition?
I don't think it's, you know, part of me says that, you know, it's not real traditional per se because you're not out there manning the pit all night. But for the sport in general, I don't know that it would really, I don't know how bad it would hurt things.
You two have both mentioned traditional styles. I mean, do you have, ultimately, do you have some type of, not issue, but do you have kind of a very small grudge against those people that run the pit minders and the gurus and the stokers and the FEC type cookers that have those.
Go ahead and say it. We all know it's coming.
and you know, the Traegers and the FECs that have those thermostatic type controls where they're actually not out doing the fire management. Kyle.
It's personal preference. I enjoy the work of barbecue and I like to, you know, kind of respect the tradition, but I don't have anything against people. Pellets are made of wood.
What about you, Scott?
No, I don't have any real problem with them. I mean, I have a Stumps cooker that actually blows by Guru, so I cooked on that my first year competing. So it just kind of depends on what gives you the results you're after.
Dave, do you have a problem with propane cookers potentially getting into competition barbecue at some point?
Now, if I want to win or if I'm going to lose, I want to know I either beat everybody that could possibly be beat. I think when it comes down to it, it's still taste, and taste doesn't come from propane. So I say let's put the best cookers out there.
All right, so let's go to the parting shot segment here. Shameless self-promotion. A lot of host ass-sucking, of course, is mandatory. We'll go to Dave Bosco from Butcher BBQ. Dave, anything you'd like to promote and where you're going to be cooking at next, all that great stuff?
We are going to be cooking this weekend in Tulsa at an IBCA. After that, we've got one weekend off, and then we're not going to have another weekend off until sometime in July. We got plans set out till then. Promote. We've got our own website, the www.butcherbarbecue.com. That's really about it. Ain't no one else paying me nothing.
All right. Kyle Laval from theslabs.com.
Well, obviously, you can hit us at theslabs.com. We've also got All Around Barbecue Gal YouTube channel. We do some fun little barbecue videos about different things. This weekend, I'm going to be at the Cookers Care Smoke Fest, which is a charitable organization we cook for. You can hit them at cookerscare.com. And then I'll be going to Pleasant Hill to cook, and then it's pretty much hopefully every weekend after that, more or less.
You guys making
November
trying to make a run for team of the year or something crazy like that, right?
I love to cook, man.
Rounding out parting shot, Scott Key from Little Pig Town.
We got a little website, littlepigtownbbq.com. It's just there's nothing. We don't sell anything on it. It's just kind of a little fun site. We're going to be cooking the same IBCA that Dave's cooking in Tulsa this weekend. Stillwater's coming up after that. And then we get pretty busy as well. And thanks for having us on, dude. Appreciate you.
Yeah, Scott, what was that? Scott, you there?
Yep.
Oh, I was going to say, don't lie. You're going to kick Dave's ass this coming weekend or what?
Shoot, no. That guy puts it on me all the time.
You guys have fun with the half chicken turn-ins in the IBCA? You like doing that for a change of pace?
I don't like any chicken turn-in, so half chicken, full chicken, whatever. I'm not a big fan of the whole chicken thing.
What about you, Dave? You like the half chicken thing?
Oh, it's irrelevant. You just got to burn them a little longer.
There you go. All right. So again, Kyle Laval, theslabs.com, Dave Bosca, butcherbbq.com, and Scott Key from Little Pigtown, littlepigtownbbq.com. Guys, a very successful Pork Roundtable. Appreciate you laying it all out there for the Central Lights listening tonight. And good luck with all the upcoming competitions that you have. Thanks for doing it.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, guys. Take care. There they are. Another roundtable in the books, baby. Yeah. Kyle Laval, theslabs.com, one word. Dave Bosca, butcherbbq.com. Scott Key, Little Pigtown, littlepigtownbbq.com. All right. Let's see, we got 3 minutes until we hit news and then go after dark. So if you want to win something, I'll take one caller, hopefully, before we get in to after dark. 877-448-0433 is the toll-free call-in number. You want to email the show and let me know if you thought this one was up to snuff, roundtable-wise. Be more than happy to read your email, bbqcentralradio@gmail.com. If you were going to be tuning out and going back over to LA Talk Radio to tune into Broad Topics, you might want to know that they're going to be talking about soap operas. They have a panel of soap opera stars and insiders from Days of Our Lives, my favorite soap, by the way. Love the Days of Our Lives, man. No doubt about it. Judy Evans, Matt Ashford, General Hospital, casting directors, and so forth. So if soap's your thing, go over to LA Talk Radio. They're going to be starting in about 3 minutes. It's Laura Joan, Kelly, and... Well, maybe it isn't Kelly anymore. I think she left the show. Laura Joan and Jillian, the Texas lesbian. Who doesn't love that? It's Broad Topics right there on LA Talk Radio. We simulcast over there. Not right now, though. Don't forget, coming up here about 5 past the hour, Rod Gray from Pellet Envy will be joining the show. Oh, we had a caller, and we lost a caller. Did we lose that caller? Lost him. That happens.
Get that big stuff out of here.
All right. So I think overall, looking at Pork Butt Roundtables, and it was funny because I was going back in the archives, making sure that I was writing down all the proper questions. Plus, as time is, I mean, it's been, oh, man, was it been 3 years now since the very first Pork Butt Roundtable? That was the very first roundtable show I ever did that was just in podcast fashion. We had Jim Morgan and Jim Minion and Chris Finney. And Bill Small, a.k.a. Bill the Grill Guy, do the inaugural roundtable. So that was good to go back and listen to. You can actually find that podcast in archives. That would be under the Barbecue for You show, I believe. It's not the radio show archives that you can find on iTunes. But if you search me for, like, author name or artist name, you get the guy with the hand on a cooker and a hand on a computer, and he looks kind of hayseedish. Pork Butt Roundtable. I'm actually working on some online content, some on-demand content on the radio station side, which can be found at thebbqcentralshow.com. And as soon as I get that figured out, I'll be able to put probably the latest and greatest shows of this show and maybe some of the all-time favorite shows of the Barbecue Central radio show as well up there for on demand. And that's thebbqcentralshow.com. That's the radio station website. There's a chat room interactive thing as well. So check that out if you're so inclined. And don't forget, next week we're going to be rounding out the fourth week in a row of roundtables with the Brisket Roundtable. My After Dark guest will be joining me for that, so we're turning him very quickly, not only tonight but back again next week. Rod Gray of Pellet Envy, Steve Farron of I Smell Smoke, and Darren Worth of Iowa Smoky D's will be joining me for that show. So we're going to step away for news here very quickly. And when we come back, we will have Rod Gray. Stand by.